When we look at this passage, as we did this morning, we see the shepherd and the evidences of the true shepherd. When he speaks of thieves and robbers in this passage, he is really speaking of the Pharisees. He's addressing them, he's rebuking them, and saying that they have entered the fold another way and have dealt with the sheep in an improper way. And so we looked at the evidences of the true shepherd this morning. We saw his priorities were that he was consumed with satisfying the Father. And we saw that he saw the significance of the sheep. He saw sheep as very important. And then we saw his power to be able to lay down his life and to be able to take it up again. The shepherd, the true shepherd, is important. The question I asked this morning was, do you know the true shepherd? Because the true shepherd, there's only one true shepherd, and his name is Jesus Christ. Tonight I want to look at the true sheep. We looked at the true shepherd this morning out of this text. Tonight I want to look at the true sheep. The emphasis of this passage is the relationship between the shepherd and the sheep. Here's the true truth about this passage. Somebody that's properly related to the shepherd is a healthy sheep. Somebody that is improperly related to the shepherd is not a healthy sheep. And the sheep are known by some things, and they're known by things that show us their relationship to the shepherd. Number one, they are known by their entrance. Look at verse number three. The Bible says, "To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of the strangers." Now drop down to verse number 9. "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture." Who's the person that finds pasture? A sheep finds pasture. What has to take place first before a sheep finds pasture? They have to enter in by the door. Who's the door in this text? Jesus is the door. Brethren, there are a lot of beliefs out there today that believe in a pluralistic gospel that says this: there are many ways to heaven. But every time that you hear Jesus speaking about getting to the Father, he exclusively identifies himself as the way, as the truth, as the life, as the door. There aren't many ways to heaven. There's one way into the pasture. There's one way to become a true sheep, and that is through Christ. And he says, if you enter in that way, you shall be saved. Every person that enters into Christ is saved. Every person that believes on Christ is saved. That's a promise from Scripture. Aren't you glad that's a promise? Aren't you glad it's not, well, I'm 50-50 sheep. Might be a sheep today, might not be a sheep tomorrow. No, any man that enters in through the door shall be saved. Permanent standing with God. And shall go in and out and find pasture. And so a true sheep is one that has entered the sheepfold through the door. The door is Jesus Christ. Listen, be careful not to become desensitized by people who say there are many ways to heaven. In fact, we just put a track in the back on the track rack that says this: is one way okay? Yes, it is okay. Because Jesus said there is one way. He is the door. And every true sheep enters into the sheepfold that way. If somebody tells you, well, I've always believed in God, they're not part of the sheepfold by that. They only become part of the sheepfold by entering in through the door, which is Jesus Christ. If somebody says, well, preacher, or so-and-so, I've been confirmed in my life. I have grown up in church and gone through confirmation. No, you don't enter the sheepfold that way. You enter in through the door. By the way, this is a good passage to take people to, like John 14:6. This is a good passage. John chapter 10 and verse number 9, Jesus says, I am the door. Sir, ma'am, the only way that you can be one of God's sheep, the only way that you can be saved is to enter in through the door. Folks, when you're witnessing today, you're going to have to draw a line in the sand with people and help them to understand that what they're leaning on and what they're believing on is false security. One preacher put it this way, rotten doors that are over hell. We have to be straight up with people and help them to understand, you know what you're telling me? I appreciate what you're telling me, but the truth is it doesn't match up to the Bible. This is a Bible salvation that we're talking about. And Jesus says, I am the door, and if you enter in by me, ye shall be saved. The entrance into the sheepfold. But secondly, let's look at the ears of true sheep. Look at verse number 3. Verse number 3. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Verse number 8, the Bible says, all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. Where are the ears of the sheep tuned to? They're tuned to the shepherd's voice. I know his voice. Verse number 16, and other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. And so it's important that we understand that the ears of the sheep, what is characteristic of a true sheep, is that his ears are tuned to the voice of the shepherd. Look at verse 27, John chapter 10, verse 27. My sheep hear my voice. This isn't mentioned one time in this passage. This isn't mentioned just two times in this passage. This is mentioned four different times in John chapter 10. When Jesus speaks of his sheep, he says there is a overwhelming characteristic in their lives, and that is they hear my voice. They hear my voice. The word voice here is the meaning of a spoken word. It's the word for our phone. We have a phone. You click on receive the message, and what do? You begin to hear. That's the word, if you look it up, for the word voice here. Sheep, turn the phone on and wait for God to speak, because sheep are interested in hearing His voice. The sheep, like the lover in Song of Solomon 2:14, know the voice because they know the shepherd and they trust Him. They trust His voice. They hear safety. They hear security. They hear sustenance. They hear joy and hope and encouragement and love and warmth and correction. All of that is coming from the shepherd. And remember, the thrust of the message here is this: a right relationship to the shepherd means a healthy sheep. And a wrong relationship to the shepherd means an unhealthy sheep. My sheep hear my voice. Have you ever tried to listen to two conversations at once? Here you're talking on the phone and somebody's trying to talk to you. And you're going like this. Yeah, I'm with you. Go ahead. And you're trying to listen to somebody else. And you know what happens when you're trying to listen to two voices? You really don't listen to either. And if you had to repeat the conversation to either person, you wouldn't be able to do it, because you can't listen to two voices at once. At least very few people can. I'm one that cannot. You know, one of the troubles that we have in our lives is that we're constantly being bombarded with other voices. When the shepherd's trying to speak to us, but there are other voices that are creating distraction and confusion and chaos to where we don't hear the shepherd's voice. Now, my sheep hear my voice. John chapter 10, verse number 5, and a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. As I illustrated this morning, the sheepfold, many times many flocks would gather into the sheepfold at night. Different shepherds would come in the morning to gather their flock out of the sheepfold, but they would only respond to the voice of their shepherd, because Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. They would not listen to the voice of the stranger, neither would they follow. It's strange that believers would listen to other voices that speak contrary to the voice of the shepherd. But that happens in Christians' lives, doesn't it? Sometimes we listen to other voices. In fact, in 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 1, John, who wrote the book of John, also wrote, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and he says this, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God." What was he saying? Beware of other voices. Beware of other influences that come into your life. Discern them by whether or not they be of God, whether or not they are consistent with the Word of God. Hey, try those things. Test those things. Don't listen to everything that you hear. Turn to Proverbs chapter 19. Proverbs chapter 19. Young people, I want to explain to you tonight that Jesus is the true shepherd. But I also want to explain to you that God has put some very important people into your life known as parents. And parents have a lot of wisdom for your life. God put them over you. That means God had a plan for them to influence your life for good. And they have a lot of wisdom. They have wisdom because, first of all, they've been down life further than you have. They've experienced some things that you have not experienced. And so, here in Proverbs chapter 19, Solomon is speaking to his son, and he says, "Cease, my son," verse number 27, "to hear the instruction that causeth to err from the words of knowledge." Now, I don't know about you, I love my children, but I have not written a whole book of Proverbs like Solomon did to his son. Solomon put a lot into his son. And Solomon sensed that there was a pull away from what he had given his son. Because he says to his son, "Cease," that's a strong command. "Cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causeth to err from the words of knowledge." Hey, be careful of other voices, is what he was saying. Be careful of other voices in your life. You may have a lot of books. You may like to read a lot of variety of different kinds of reading. You may like to read history, and you may like to read novels or fiction. You may like to read about different events in people's lives. You may like to read mysteries. But listen, you better be reading one book. You better be hearing the Lord's voice in your life. Shame on you if you can read all of that other stuff and not hear the voice of God. This is where the shepherd speaks. He speaks in this book and through this book into our lives. And if you can read everything else and this takes a back shelf, I challenge you tonight, cease and listen to this. This is the book. This is God's voice. This is how the shepherd works. It's amazing to me the voices that Christians give their ears to. Know this, that the enemy is always competing for your hearing. He's always competing for your hearing. He does it through magazines and books and websites and friends and family and radio stations and music and those outside the local church and sometimes those even within the local church sadly will speak things against what the true shepherd speaks. We must be alert. We must be aware. Sometimes those who have turned away from the truth influence us. The voice of our own flesh we listen to at times and listen to it over the true shepherd. Our own voice of our flesh and what our flesh wants. By the way, that's a powerful voice in every one of our lives. We awake to it every day. The voice of the flesh. And the voice of the flesh fights the voice of the true shepherd in our lives. And God says, "What's true of one of my sheep is that they hear my voice." They hear my voice. We listen to the new voices that come out. We read the latest Christian books. We incline our ears to Hollywood. We incline and bend our ears to our peers. But there's a real question mark in the life of someone who rarely hears the voice of the shepherd. Because the Bible says Jesus spoke these words, "My sheep hear my voice." They listen to my voice. My voice ought to trump everybody else's voice. The shepherd's voice. The word. Does your faithfulness to church, does your consistency in your walk reflect shutting out other voices to hear the shepherd's voice? Could it be that your ears tonight have been tuned to a different channel, a different voice? And you need to tune your life and your heart back to the shepherd. because it's the shepherd's voice that you ought to be hearing. Above all else, it's the shepherd's voice that you ought to be tuning into. Rehoboam listened to wrong voices. Turn to 1 Kings chapter 12. 1 Kings chapter 12. By the way, Rehoboam was the son of Solomon. Question, did Rehoboam have instruction? Oh, yes. Did Rehoboam have wisdom that was passed down to him? Oh, yes. Did Rehoboam have the opportunity to graduate from being a simple, naive young man to being an alert, discerning, spiritually mature man? Yes, he did. He had all the Proverbs. What mistake did Rehoboam make, preacher? He listened to the wrong voice. 1 Kings chapter 12, look at verse number 1. The Bible says, "And Rehoboam went to Shechem, for all Israel were come to Shechem to make him king. And it came to pass where Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who was yet in Egypt, heard of it, for he was fled from the presence of King Solomon, and Jeroboam dwelt in Egypt, that they sent and called him, and Jeroboam and all the congregation of Israel came and spake unto Rehoboam, saying, Thy father made our yoke grievous, now therefore make thou the grievous service of thy father, and his heavy yoke which he put upon us lighter, and we will serve thee. And he said unto them, Depart yet for 3 days, then come again to me. And the people departed. And King Rehoboam consulted with the old men," that was a good move, "that stood before Solomon his father while he yet lived, and said, How do ye advise that I may answer this people? And they spake unto him, saying, If thou wilt be a servant unto this people this day, and wilt serve them, and answer them, and speak good words to them, then they will be thy servants forever. But he forsook the counsel of the old man." Man, that was a bad decision. "Which they had given him, and consulted with the young men that were grown up with him, and which stood before him. And he said unto them, What counsel give ye that we may answer this people, who have spoken to me, saying, Make the yoke which thy father did put upon us lighter? And the young men that were grown up with him spake unto him, saying, Thus shalt thou speak unto this people that spake unto thee, saying, Thy father made our yoke heavy, but make thou it lighter unto us. Thus shalt thou say unto them, My little fingers shall be thicker than my father's loins. Now whereas my father did lade you with a heavy yoke, I will add to your yoke. My father hath chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions." And notice in verse number 13, "And the king answered the people roughly and forsook the old men's counsel that they gave him." What was the writing on the wall for Rehoboam's kingdom? I'll tell you what it was. Listening to the wrong voice. Listening to the wrong voice. Had he listened to the right voices in his life, it would have led him to a right decision, which would have built the trust of the people in him. But instead, he went the other direction. He listened to his peers. Peers don't often give good advice. The Bible says the hoary head is a crown of glory if it be found in the way of righteousness. Thou shalt rise up before the hoary head and honor the face of the old man and fear thy God. I am the Lord. Interesting that fearing God and consulting with older men are tied together in Leviticus. The beauty of old men is the gray head. Voices that would direct us to the true shepherd's words are voices that we often avoid when we ought to run to. Anybody that would direct us to the voice of the shepherd. Anybody that would break forth spiritual truth to us that affects our decision making or affects our direction of life. Ooh, that's important. I better take heed to that. I better follow the shepherd's voice. Better follow the word of God. Voices. Unlike other animals, sheep rarely find their own safety. Since sheep go astray, their guidance and their safety lies in the shepherd's, watch this, voice. And I want you to know this, that the shepherd always has the right words for wherever we are at as sheep. He knows where we're at in life, and he has the right words. For instance, the shepherd speaks to straying sheep. Straying sheep. Anybody ever hear strayed from the Lord? Yeah, we all do. In fact, we're prone to wander, right? The songwriter wrote, we're prone to wander. We're prone to get outside of the sheepfold. And the Bible teaches us that God speaks to straying sheep. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. The psalmist said it this way, I've gone astray like a lost sheep. A sheep without direction. A sheep that is very vulnerable. The psalmist said, I've been there. I've strayed. Now, preacher, what does it mean to stray? It just means to take a step off the path. We think of straying like this. Man, that person's far away from God. But everybody's away from God that takes a step off the right path. Straying begins with a step. It doesn't begin with falling off a cliff. It doesn't begin by being eaten by the lion. It begins by taking a step off the wrong path. Guess what? On a daily basis, we are tempted with those kinds of steps. Here's a day without devotions. Have you strayed? You stray on that day? Yeah, you did. Sure did. You live life without God's word. You live life without God's direction and light on that day. Have you gone a day without prayer? Yes, yes, I have. Oh, there's a step. You strayed. God speaks to straying sheep, and God brings them back on the path. Have you strayed in your spirit? Got a cattywampus spirit about something? Something happened. You didn't like it. Didn't go the way that you thought it should go. And you're stirred up about it in your own spirit. Oh, what's that, preacher? That's straying. That's a step in the wrong direction. And so what does Jesus do? The shepherd speaks to straying sheep. I want you to go to Matthew chapter 18. Now watch this. Think with me now. My sheep hear my what? Voice. And if they hear my voice, do they hear my voice when I'm straying? Should I hear God's voice? I should. The characteristic about a sheep is that he hears God's voice. And so I've strayed. I've taken a step off the path. Maybe I've taken a few steps off the path. Maybe I've taken a lot of steps off the path. Does God speak to straying sheep? Yes, he does. In fact, in Matthew chapter 18, verse number 12, how think ye? If a man have 100 sheep and one of them be gone astray, doth not he leave the 99 and goeth into the mountains and seeketh that which is gone astray? And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. Give you the picture. 99 are in the fold. One's outside the fold, and who's after it? The shepherd, the true shepherd, is after a true sheep. He goes out to the sheep. Hey, sheep, come on. Come on, we're going back to the fold. You got to get back in the fold. You can't be out here. You're outside the fold. You're in danger land. You're very vulnerable. Listen, you can be injured. Listen, there can be heartache in your life for the rest of your life. Get back in the fold. And he's interested in that one sheep. True sheep, inside the fold or outside the fold, ought to hear the voice of the shepherd. Somebody that's taken a step off and doesn't hear the voice of the shepherd, healthy sheep? Sheep headed in the good direction? Oh no. And you know what? I don't think that God waits to speak to us till we're 10 steps off the path, way down a detour in our lives. I believe that the shepherd speaks to us when we take a first step off the path. I believe he's on us. I believe the Spirit of God is working in us to say, hey, stop! Hey, get back in the fold. He speaks to straying sheep. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2, for you were a sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. You know what else is characteristic of sheep? They not only hear, they return. They return. He's speaking to believers here. He's not speaking to lost people. He's saying, now have you returned to the shepherd of your souls, for ye were as sheep going astray. But now are ye returned. Peter was a straying sheep in John 21. He'd taken some bad steps. In fact, he denied Christ thrice. He'd taken three bad steps. And does Jesus speak to him? Oh, yes, he does. And Jesus is all about to what? bring him back into the sheepfold. Now watch this. Watch this. Hear this closely. Important principle to the message tonight. You are unusable outside of the sheepfold. You become usable when you come back to the sheepfold. Watch this. John 21. We're at after Christ's resurrection. And Jesus is speaking to Peter. In 50 days, Peter's going to preach and see 3,000 people saved. But you know what had to happen first? He had to return to the sheepfold. Jesus was working with the straying sheep. And he asked three times in John chapter 21, verses 15 through 17. He says, Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And did Peter answer right on the first two times? Oh, yes, he did. But Jesus was getting at something. Jesus was getting as to whether or not he was going to step back inside the sheepfold. Jesus was getting whether he was going to love him and love him to a greater degree than he did when he denied him three times. And he says in verse number 17, he saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. He said unto Peter, you're restored. Now go and serve me. Brethren, when we are straying, the first step in our lives is to get back to the shepherd. And in order to do that, you have to hear him when you're straying. Can I tell you something about straying? When we stray, what have we done? We've listened to another voice. Say, preacher, what do you mean? I mean, we've listened to a temptation in our lives. We've given in to it. As a result, we've taken a step out of the fold. We've strayed. So what is part of getting back into the sheepfold? It's saying no to the voices that we've said yes to. And it's returning to the voice of the shepherd. He speaks to strange sheep. He also speaks to scared sheep. Scared sheep. Turn to Mark chapter 6. I told you the shepherd knows whatever aspect of life we're facing. And he knows what to speak to us when we are facing those things, those chapters of our lives. You ever faced a scared chapter? You ever faced a chapter in your life where you could write chapter title, I'm scared to death about something. I'm scared we're not going to be able to pay our bills. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm scared to death about my health. I can't get any answers. It's unknown. I'm scared to death about my children and what choices that they're going to make or that they are making. I'm scared to death about the world. I'm scared to death about tomorrow. Huh. These people in Mark chapter 6 were scared to death about a storm that they were in. And Jesus constrained his disciples, and straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship in verse 45 of Mark 6. And to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida while he sent away the people. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land, and he saw them toiling and rowing. For the wind was contrary unto them about the fourth watch of the night. He cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit, and cried out. For they all saw him, and were troubled, and immediately he talked with them, and saith unto them, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. The shepherd knows what to speak to the fearful Christian, to the fearful sheep. In fact, the psalmist wrote it this way, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, that's scary, I will fear no evil, for what? For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they cover me, comfort me. He talks about being in the presence of mine enemies in verse number 5, but thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. The shepherd speaks to scared sheep. You fearful tonight? Better focus on hearing the voice of the shepherd. Boy, when he said, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. Can you hear the sigh on the ship? First, they thought it was a ghost. They came to realize it was the shepherd. He calmed the storm. Whew, I'm glad he's here. Ooh, I'm glad he spoke those words. The shepherd knows how to lead us beside still waters. And the Bible says in Psalm 23, restore our souls. Lie down in green pastures. You know when you're fearful, you know what you need? Still waters. You know where you find that? The voice of the shepherd. He speaks to those that are scared. Do you know he also speaks to skeptic sheep? Skeptic sheep. Turn to John chapter 20. My sheep hear my voice. And brethren, I'm just trying to build confidence in your life that the shepherd has the words that you need in whatever you're facing in life. He has the words. Thomas walked with him. Thomas knew him. But Thomas was skeptic. Thomas was doubtful. I know God's word says this, preacher, but look at what's happening. Nothing's changing. Is God really on my side? Doubtful. Thomas hears from the other disciples. He rose. Hey, we saw him with our own eyes. Thomas says, unless I see the nail print hands, his hands, the print of the nails in verse number 25, and put my finger into the print of the nails and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And 8 days again, his disciples were within and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace, whoa, peace be unto you. Who was present this time? Thomas was. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands. And reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. Aren't you glad that God is patient when we are doubtful? Boy, you know, if I were Christ, Thomas, you could have been here 8 days ago. Why do I have to come to you personally and I got to prove this resurrection to you? For heaven's sakes, I told you about it previously. I revealed myself to the disciples. You weren't there. And now you're doubting. But that was not how Christ spoke to the doubtful or to the skeptic. He spoke, peace be unto you. And then Thomas, I don't know, maybe it was after church. Maybe it was after everybody departed. But the Bible says he saith to Thomas, he came to Thomas, reach hither your hand and put it in my side. Thomas, I'm going to give you what you need. Now listen. Don't be faithless, but believing. You know how Thomas walked away from that encounter? My Lord and my God. Believing. Thomas, I want to settle your doubts. Christian, I want to settle your doubts regarding salvation, regarding whether or not I care. Hear my voice, the doubtful Christian. Hear my voice. I speak to those who are doubting. Maybe you're doubting God about something. God, I've been faithful, and Lord, this just doesn't seem like this is working out the way it should. Lord, I've tried to be faithful to you. You're God. But Lord, my life's in a tailspin. I don't understand it. Sheep, come here. Peace be unto you. Let me help you. Let me give you the word of God that you need to build your faith and be believing. Walk away believing. You know the shepherd speaks to sorrowful sheep? John chapter 14. Turn there if you would. John chapter 14. And look at verse number 1. Disciples are troubled. Jesus is getting ready to die and then he'll ascend. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Brethren, he was comforting them with a future of heaven. The truth of the matter is, the shepherd has the right words for every occasion in our lives. He knows what to speak. He knows how to come alongside and give us what we need. You know what our one responsibility is? Hear his voice. Hear his voice. Have you heard his voice lately? There were a lot of opportunities last week to hear his voice. A lot of things that the shepherd said, I want to get to this flock right here. This flock. These sheep. Want them to get that. Going to be helpful to them in life. Going to prepare them for what's coming. The shepherd lastly speaks to stubborn sheep. Stubborn sheep. Harden not your heart as in the provocation, as in the day of the temptation in the wilderness. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ. You know what his words to the stubborn sheep are? Don't harden your heart. The shepherd speaks those words. And he speaks those words to stubborn sheep. You know what? I'm convinced of this. Every sheep has a strain of stubbornness. We all do. We all have a strain of stubbornness. And God says, when it comes to my voice, boy, don't be stubborn. Don't harden your heart towards that. Hey, keep that heart tender. Parents, I've preached a message to teens at camp called the trump card in your life. It's called the tender heart. I can deal with somebody that makes mistakes, but you know what you can't deal with? Somebody that's stubborn about it. You know what God works with? He works with tender hearts. Tender hearts. Tender hearts that hear his voice. Tender hearts that when they're strained and they get out, step, oop, oop, shepherd just spoke. Just brought me back into the fold. He speaks to stubborn sheep. The other characteristic about the sheep tonight, verse number 27, is my sheep hear my voice and I know them, verse 27, and they follow me. They follow me. That means they follow his words. They not only hear it, they follow it. They follow it. This book needs to be followed by us. That's an evidence of a true sheep. That this book matters in my life. In fact, it matters more than anything else in my life. It matters more than the way I was brought up. This book does. If I was brought up wrong and the book shows me that, then I'm willing to turn my back on the way I was brought up. Because these are the shepherd's words. This book matters more to me than what other churches are teaching. This book matters to me more than people's opinion. This book matters to me more than what family says. Why? Because my sheep hear my voice, and I know them. And they follow me. And brethren, that's the characteristic. Those are the characteristics of what Jesus said are true of his sheep. Number one, they take the right entrance, the only entrance. That is through the door, which is Jesus. If you come in by the door, and I'm the door, ye shall be saved. You shall go in and out and find pasture. Number two, their ears are tuned to his voice. And he speaks to us in all stages of life. He has the words to speak. Number three, they follow him. Do you know that when they talk about the disciples following him, often the word associated with that is straightway, meaning immediately. Meaning there was no hindrance to following God when God called them to follow him. They didn't let anything get in the way of them following him. In fact, in Matthew 4, verse 20, they straightway left their nets and followed him. They straightway left their nets. In Mark 2:14, as he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the receipt of custom and said unto him, follow me. And he arose and followed him. I tell you what's getting Christians in trouble. Delayed obedience. And delayed obedience is no obedience. There was immediate fellowship. Boy, I learned something from the scripture. I follow it. I make the change. I go home and say, This has got to change. I write it down in a message. God dealt with me on this, and it's got to change. They followed it. What's hindering you from following it? In fact, Peter said, "Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore?" May I ask you tonight, how far will you follow it? What if God wanted you on the mission field? Would you leave America to follow him? Would you go to Bible college to follow him? Would you do that? Would you flee something in order to follow him? The Bible says, "Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart." Will you follow him if it means death? 20 years ago, the Columbine shootings took place out in Colorado. A girl by the name of Cassie Bernal was 17 years old. The shooter came up to Cassie in the school and said, "Do you believe in God?" She said, "Yes." And he went bang and blew her brains out. You know what she communicated? "I follow him to death." And she did. And she had a gun pointed to her head. Will you follow him if it means none of your friends do? Will you follow him if it means losing a friend? Because sometimes it does. Will you follow him if it means standing against family members who have turned away from God? "My sheep hear my voice and I know them, and they follow me. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Though no one join me, still I'll follow. Though no one join me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back." What was the evidence that the disciples were true sheep? They immediately followed him. There was no indecision. There was no reluctance. There was no hesitation. There was no timidity. There was no shyness about following him. They arose and followed him. And he said, "My sheep hear my voice. And I know them. And they follow me." You know how you're known as a true sheep? By hearing and following.
Thank you for joining us by way of the internet today. We're so glad that you were able to be with us, and we pray that the service was a blessing to your heart. Even though the sermon is over, our service is not over. At the end of our service, we give an opportunity for people to respond and come to an altar and pray over what God dealt with them about. Sometimes people come to call upon Christ and to be saved. Others come to make a decision for Christ regarding their Christian lives. Others come to call out to the Lord about special needs and situations in their lives. Maybe God has dealt with you today about some specific area of your life. I invite you to make an altar right there in your home, a quiet time before the Lord where you pray to Him and respond to Him about what He has spoken to you about. If you made a decision for the Lord today, we would be glad to hear about that decision and or answer any questions you have today about the message that was preached. You can contact us by way of email at info@mountziononline.org or by way of phone at 717-927-9227. Again, we thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to you joining us again for our live stream weekly on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and on Sunday evenings at 6:45 p.m. If we can meet a need in your life, please do not hesitate to contact us. Thank you, and God bless you.